Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour 3 Central Time, you are hearing the live broadcast, and we would love to hear from you. The toll-free number in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. Let us address your question or your particular topic of interest. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. When you read the Word of God, you realize that this whole story revolves around Jesus. Our salvation, our hope, everything that we have as human beings rests on his shoulders. If he didn't show up, if he didn't do what he did through his death on the cross, if he wasn't alive today, we would have no hope. We would just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's nothing more than what we see right in front of us. But with Jesus, we have everything.
Yeah,
and that's the great story. And so out of the Reformation, those five solas, it was Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. And that's what we're going to talk about this week, the enormous work that Jesus did on our behalf so that we could have eternal hope and eternal life in him. And today we're going to start way at the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 1. Love, love, love this passage of Scripture. John is on the Isle of Patmos. He is there. I love what he says in verse 9. He says, "I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." So why was John there? Well, he was exiled there because of his preaching of the word of God and his testimony concerning Jesus Christ. That's why all the disciples were either martyred or persecuted in the way that they were, because they opened their mouth and they spoke about Jesus. They spoke about his death. They spoke about his burial, and they spoke about his resurrection. So John was on the island. He was taken up in the spirit. He heard a voice, and as he turned to see the voice, he saw the Son of Man. He saw Jesus Christ himself. White hair and eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. His voice was like the roar of many waters, and in his right hand he held the seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. So that's Jesus in all of his glory. Now, I think this is important for us to see, to understand, to really visualize, because the last thing that we see in the gospel accounts is the unrecognizable Jesus, beaten to the very, final breath of life.
He's beaten to a pulp.
I know. Then yeah. Hung on a cross, and that's what we see. We see the crown of thorns and the blood dripping down, and the hole in the side, and the pierced hands and the pierced feet, and it was not a sight to behold. But that body was laid into a ground, and it came out immortal, and he ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And here we get a picture of what he looks like in all of his glory.
Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting part of this. When John saw him, and this is what he writes, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead." That is the incredible nature of Jesus, just the awesomeness of Jesus Christ himself. I mean, who are we to stand in front of him? And that's exactly how John felt when he saw this Jesus in all of his glory. But listen to this. "But he laid his right hand on me, saying, 'Fear not.'" Oh, my goodness, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, my goodness, the love that flows from him toward us. That's the picture here. And he says, "Fear not." And guess what, folks? If you're afraid today, if you're frightened, if you're scared of life, if you're scared of what tomorrow might bring to you, if you were just living on the edge of despair, Jesus is putting his hand on your shoulder in exactly the same way. And today he's saying to you, fear not. And there's good reason. There is good reason for these words from the mouth of our Lord. And this is the reason. He says, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. There's our hope, folks. The fact that Jesus died and is alive forevermore. Because he lives, we live. And then he goes on to say, and I have the keys of death and Hades. So our worst fear is in his control. He has the key. And he's already released us from the control of death and the grave. We have already received new life in him. We've crossed over from death to life. And so he used those keys to release us from our greatest fear and to go free into this new life, this abundant life that we have in Christ. Because he lives, we live. Yeah. And so regardless of what life throws our way, the tribulations that are going to come our way, Jesus is going to say to each and every one of us, fear not, because he is alive forevermore. That's good news. That's why this reformation that starts within the hearts of people, this transformation that starts there, begins with Jesus. He's the one that brings that about. We come into this world scared to death, scared of death, scared so much. Why? Because we know that when we die, there's judgment, and none of us have lived up to the righteous requirements of the law. And so in and of ourselves, we know our judgment is not going to be good. But Christ has come and he stood in our place. He's taken our sins. He's taken our judgment so that we could be made alive together with him. That's the good news of the gospel. And it's all of Christ, Christ alone.
Absolutely. That is such good news. And friends, you know what? The only way Basic Gospel is able to be on the air and online each day is due to the faithful support of you, our listeners. And we need your ongoing help to keep this ministry of good news available to reach out with the truth of the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our thanks for your gift to Basic Gospel this month of October, we have the DVD series, The Reformation Project. And we have a copy for you. It's all about the five truths that ignited the Protestant Reformation, truths that also ignite Reformation in the human heart. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of The Reformation Project. Again, that's 844-322-2742 or donate online at basicgospel.net. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get this excellent video series with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer.
Yes, indeed. It's a wonderful series. Yeah. I just think it's just the perfect resource for you as an individual to help you in your journey with Christ. It's also a perfect resource if you want to teach a Bible study, if you want to gather some folks and really explain to them the basics of Christianity. This is a wonderful place to start. All you have to do is pop in the CD, watch the first one. It's about 10 or 15 minutes in length. Then have a great discussion about it.
Yeah.
And then the following week, pop in session number two and watch that together. And then talk about the scriptures that were discussed on the video. And I guarantee you, these are the things that people really struggle with. These verses that we're sharing, these subject matters that we're talking about, are the very subject matters that people wrestle with. And until they get a handle on it, they're going to continue to wrestle and struggle and be frustrated in life. So these are the things that really speak to the human heart and bring people to that moment of clarity where they actually know what Christianity is all about and what a relationship with the Lord is all about. So don't miss this Reformation Project. I guarantee you, you will be glad that you that you got a copy, and I guarantee you, you'll think of a lot of people you want to share it with.
Absolutely. Once again, click donate at basicgospel.net. You get a copy with your gift during the month of October, and we'd love for you to do that. Or you can call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to Thorndale and talk to our good friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Hello, Bob. I've got a good friend of mine that's a Lutheran pastor and studies Hebrew and everything, and he really knows the scripture. And every time we get together, we always end at the same disagreement. It leads to baptism, okay? And the last time we were talking, I said, so what about the two thieves on the cross, is what he said. And I said, the one that was with him in paradise, he wasn't baptized. And he said, well, you don't know that he wasn't, Clay. And I said, well, if he was, it was the baptism of John. And where I'm going with this is the guy, it's so legalistic, okay? So I started reading about the Reformation the other night, where it's just scripture, just grace, just Jesus. And I started reading about Martin Luther's views on infant baptism and on baptism and conversion and everything. And that's what, 400 years ago, 500 years ago?
500 years ago, yes.
Yeah, it sounds like I'm talking to my friend. And I know Andrew talked about building a bridge, okay? But, boy, it's been a long bridge. It looks like nothing's changed, okay? So how can this be the same Christ? You see where I'm going with this, with Reformation? It just smooth wears me out. And I'll tell you, I couldn't hardly read that stuff about Martin Luther the other night. And how do you explain this, the Reformation and still being in such a big ditch as far as works is concerned with all types of baptism and stuff?
Well, Clay, I think there's a lot that we need to protest today as far as what's being taught in the church. You know, we've come a long way from where we were 500 years ago, what was being taught 500 years ago. But we still have a long way to go as far as a church that is standing firmly on Christ and Christ alone. We like to add all sorts of things to the gospel story. We want to say that Christ did 99% of the work, but we want to hold on to 1%. And it's either through water baptism, it's through some formula for repentance, it's through you have to be a member of a church, we can come up with all sorts of things. And we have to realize it really is all about Jesus from start to finish. It is his story. We get invited to participate in his story, and we do that by faith. So it is by grace through faith that enables us to experience new life and new hope and new everything in Jesus Christ. Now, you had mentioned in your question to Michelle, Ephesians 4:5, the fact Paul writes that it's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And that baptism there, Clay, has nothing to do with water baptism. It has everything to do with spiritual baptism. And why we can't get this in our minds, I don't know. Jesus said that John came to baptize with water. I came to baptize with the Spirit and with fire. So with the Spirit, that's life. With fire, that's coming judgment. So that's what Jesus is all about. So his baptism is about the spiritual baptism, and that spiritual baptism takes place the moment that we believe. We are baptized or placed into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. So that's the baptism that matters, and we all stand together in this new covenant because of that one baptism that we all have in common. So we just have to realize that when Paul is talking there, it really is about spiritual baptism, not water baptism.
I agree with you there. But you see, if it's not, is it true grace if someone has to add this to salvation of grace?
If they're adding water baptism to salvation, you know, it's confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and be baptized in water, then you've added something that's not a part of the gospel. And I guarantee you, if you add something that you feel is important, then you're going to rely on that thing that you've added. I've been water baptized. And then that's going to be a point of judgment toward others. So you haven't been water baptized, so you must not be saved. And then if you say, oh, yes, I have been water baptized, then they will say, well, you haven't been water baptized by my pastor and my church and our waters. That's the only thing that can save you.
Hey, Bob, you know, and I started, where does this come from? Infant baptism, okay? And I started reading the other night, okay? You know what I think they think, what I thought I read in there? It all goes back to when John the Baptist leapt in his mother's womb, and it was prophesied to his dad, Zacharias, that he'd be filled with the Spirit in the womb. And I think that's the whole basis for this infant baptism. And I'm telling you right now, some of them have baptized miscarriages and abortions with water baptizing and sprinkling. And then you ought to go into the stuff that Luther was into to about sprinkling water, okay, rather than immersion and stuff. I mean, it just completely wears me out. And so what it's done, it's caused me,
Clay,
it's like those steps y'all were talking about.
Clay, let me interrupt you. Nobody has ever said that Martin Luther had everything absolutely correct. Look at the first century church and the stuff that they had to deal with, both on the Jewish side and on the Gentile side, that they were constantly in a mess over this kind of stuff. And thankfully, the Spirit gave us people like Peter and Paul and John to explain this stuff. And all of us, every one of us throughout history, as we have come to Jesus, come to faith in Jesus, I can speak from experience, it has taken me years to get rid of some of the stuff that I used to believe. And sometimes I'm not even aware of it. When the Spirit gets a hold of me after I've had a conversation with someone and says, really? is that what is the truth? And I have to say, okay, what did I miss? And sometimes it's a nuance, but it can leave the impression with someone else that I'm not teaching consistently. And there were parts of Luther's teaching that were completely inconsistent. But when he came to a conclusion that only by Scripture alone could he find the grace and mercy that he needed to deal with his tortured soul, that's real. I mean, we know that Luther was anti-Semitic. That's real. But as far as his discovering that Jesus loved him and that grace was a gift of God, not something we earn, he revolutionized the world, and we've got to be thankful for that and forgive him, if I can use that word, for his inconsistency where he was inconsistent.
And boy, he was inconsistent on those things. And like you said, Richard, it really gets down to this question, how is a person saved?
Yeah.
And that's what he struggled with, and that's what he finally discovered in the Word of God, that it is a righteousness that comes through faith. The just shall live by faith. And so he took a stand on that. And I think we take our stand on that today. And when somebody says, no, you need to be water baptized, whether it's, you know, I was sprinkled as a kid. I have no earthly idea what that experience was like. I had no earthly idea that happened until my mom and dad told me that I'd been sprinkled as a kid. So it means nothing. So water baptism is something that we can engage in as a celebration of this spiritual baptism that's already taken place through faith in Jesus Christ. So, Clay, keep speaking the good word, my friend.
Indeed. Take care.
Hey, Bob. Okay.
Let's go to Brad in O'Fallon. Hi, Brad.
Hey, how you all doing? I've got two comments. One real quickly is, not only do you all give very, very good information about Scripture and what it's all about. But I know for a fact that thousands are encouraged about what you say, just encouraged. They come to tears. I know one specifically I won't mention. So you are so encouraging with everything you do. So I know the Spirit's involved. And as far as Martin Luther's concerned, one thing people have to remember, for many hundreds of years, the Catholic Church had already gotten a good, strong foothold into the lives of people, including Martin Luther. And one thing I see about Martin Luther that's very seldom ever talked about is the fact that he broke away in somewhat from the Catholic Church and showed courage to speak out. And that was unheard of, speaking out against the ruling church. But he opened the door for many to come forward with their various thoughts about what Scripture was that had not happened before him. So I appreciate what Richard has said, but I also appreciate the fact that Martin Luther showed enough gumption to come against the teachings and to come and say, I can see Jesus in the Scripture.
Yeah. Well, another thing that happened in the Reformation, and this went right in line with the inventing of the printing press, is Martin Luther was able to get the Word of God into the hands of the common people. And really, that was where the revolution and the Reformation began, when people started opening up the Word of God. Well, Brad, as always, love hearing from you.
Thanks, Brad.
Let's go down to Louisiana and talk with Wayne. Hi, Wayne.
Hey, buddies. How y'all doing?
Doing awesome. How are you, my friend?
All right. I was just really calling to say thank you. Brad mentioned he knew somebody. He didn't want to mention their name, who heard the opening statements and broke down into tears. Will you talk? You're talking to him. Thank you so much. I needed that.
Well, Wayne, it's just the power of the gospel,
it is.
And it's Jesus meeting us at our point of need. Sometimes we just need a word of encouragement, and the Word of God provides that for us. When we take a look at Jesus and get a fresh look at Jesus, that encouragement comes. You know, Christianity, I was at a church this weekend, and one of my old fraternity brothers called me up, and his son was delivering the message. And so I went and met with Warren and listened to his son Cole speak. And, he was talking about the who of Christianity. You know, oftentimes we're so caught up in our circumstances, and we're caught up in what am I supposed to do, and we forget about Jesus. And when we take a fresh look at Jesus, we can just breathe. We can just sigh a big sigh of relief, knowing that he's got us in his hands. Yeah. And that is the most comforting thing that we can ever know or experience as a human being, that Jesus is for us, he's not against us, and that he's always with us. So regardless of what's going on in life, Jesus is there, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who was dead but is now alive forevermore, and the one who holds the keys to death and Hades. Our worst fear, our biggest fear, he's already dealt with through his resurrection.
Yeah.
And that is such good news. And Wayne, thank you so much for your call and just your heart and just expressing the encouragement you've received through the Word of God today. Thank you so much, Wayne. God
Absolutely.
Bless you.
Thanks, Wayne. Friends, we need your help in order to make sure that we continue to be here every weekday helping others to hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ. At Basic Gospel, we want to keep telling the story as often as we can to as many people as we can. And with all the stuff going on in this world, we need to be here sharing the truth of the gospel on the air and online. And with your help, we'll be able to continue to do that. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of the DVD series, The Reformation Project, 5 Truths That Ignited the Protestant Reformation. That's basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.